And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going to jump on into the first dipper. I will tell you there's an expectation right now in D.C., like an anticipation maybe is better put, an anticipation about what's going to happen this afternoon. So Biden is actually expected to hold his first news conference in 8 months, his first unaccompanied news conference in 8 months, which is, I think, a record for modern-day presidents. Anyway, it's the first one also since his, the debate, which is how we refer to it now. I think everybody should grab hold of that and forever make it just ubiquitously known as the debate. I mean, when we say D-Day, we don't have to say June 6, 1944, the day we conducted the debate. No, we just say D-Day. Everybody knows what it is. Same is true for 9/11. Same is true, at least for the progressive left, on Jan 6. They've got a mark in time. All they got to do is say Jan 6. Everybody knows what they're referring to. I think we ought forevermore to say the debate, and everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. So the debate occurred, and Biden has been literally fighting for his public life, not just his political life, y'all, his public life ever since. And I'll be honest with you, I watch it. It's sad to watch, and I cannot help but watch it and think, I feel like he's losing confidence in himself, which is, I get it. And I don't want to go rescue him whatsoever because I want him out of office. But then again, I also am loving the fact that the Democrats are in complete disarray. But then again, I also know that, daggummit, we're the ones who are the beneficiaries of whatever happens, good, bad, or indifferent. So right now, you've got the president, and people are watching. There's a lot of folks that say that what happens today is going to be either the nail in the coffin or a lifeline for him to move forward. Because he's having a press conference, and he's also having a NATO leaders meeting. And he's the host of it, the NATO leaders meeting. But right now, 9 elected Democrats have called on Biden to drop out. That's unheard of. 23 Democrats, including Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, Representative Adam Schiff, and Jamie Raskin, have all expressed concerns. There is rumor in the background that you've got Obama himself, who was considered to be one of the major string pullers still in the Democrat Party, pulling strings to get him to back off. Anyway, the end result is this. He's doing a press conference today. Can he do it? All right, let's dive in here a minute. I will say this. The crisis is continuing to mount. It's not gotten better. You know, everything in politics seems to get better with time. You can have the worst things happen to somebody, and over time, it just gets better. No, this one's picking up speed. This one's rolling downhill. I mean, this is literally, it's moving. So, story here from Reuters. U.S. President Joe Biden faced fresh doubts on Wednesday as heavyweights Nancy Pelosi and George Clooney, the actor, and two other Senate Democrats have all announced that they are concerned about his reelection chances. So Biden has to quickly decide what to do about staying in the race. So Hollywood star George Clooney, a Democrat who co-hosted a star-studded fundraiser for Biden last month, withdrew his support in a damning opinion piece. Okay, here's the bottom line of that. So Clooney, who's a major leftist, I mean, I love Clooney's his movies. He's got a great style and sort of a relaxed kind of, you know, comedic ability that I think is solid. His politics suck. But he's out there all the time right now just bashing anybody on the conservative right and trying to raise money for the conservative left. He held a fundraiser in California with Hollywood elite and other big donors, raised $30 million for Biden 3 weeks ago. And then he has the debate. And then it all went south. And now Clooney just wrote an op-ed that came out in the New York Times saying that the Biden that he saw in 2010 and even most recently in 2020 is not the same Biden that he saw at his fundraiser a few weeks ago. But it took him 3 friggin' weeks to say it. He literally says that the Biden of the debate is the Biden that I saw at the fundraiser. But it took having the debate before he was willing to say something about it. What does that tell you? He was willing to, okay, jeez, I'm not saying anything. Are you saying anything? I don't know. Oh, everybody saw it. Okay, I got to say something because they know he's at my house. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has privately signaled he's open to a new candidate other than Biden, according to Axios. But then Schumer quickly crawfished on that. So, no, I never said that. Senator Peter Welch has called on him to withdraw. One major donor said Democratic leaders had indicated they would issue their statements of concern after today's NATO summit. It's going to be a bloodbath, said one source. All right, so here's the thing. Pelosi, what did she do? Pelosi got a little weird. Well, Pelosi is a little weird. Pelosi got a little bit... basically, what happened was Pelosi was anything but unequivocal. In fact, she was equivocating like crazy. Here's her quote. And I want to remind you, by the way, that the same person who told us with regards to Obamacare, we're going to have to vote for it to see what's in it, is the same person now who's telling you, we're going to have to see how he does to decide what we're going to do. Talking about today's press conference. She said this. This is her quote on MSNBC. Quote, Pelosi, I've said to everyone, let's just hold off. Whatever you're thinking, either tell somebody privately, but you don't have to put it on the table until we see how we go this week. She declined to say definitively she wanted Biden to run. She said, quote, I want him to do whatever he decides to do. We're all encouraging him to make that decision because time's running short. That is a person who is strictly about their politics and not about this country. She knows exactly what's going on with him. She knows probably better than anybody. She's one of the inner circle. She's one of the heavyweights in their party. And yet Nancy Pelosi literally just told the world, well, you know, we have to see how he does on Monday to know what we're going to do. What? Why is that okay? If it's so bad that you got to watch one more press conference to know whether he ought to quit as the president of the United States of America, maybe your problem is already big enough to make a decision. Well, we got to vote on it to see what's in it. Okay. George Clooney, though, he did, in fact, write in his opinion piece. He said, quote, it's devastating to say it, but the Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe big blah, 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 blankety, blankety, blank Biden of 2010. He wasn't even the Biden of 2020. He's the same man we all witnessed at the debate. That's the quote. What that tells you is he saw it before the debate. Clooney saw it before the debate. Clooney saw it at his house, at a fundraiser, at a very personalized opportunity. You got to know that Clooney was probably the one who introduced him that night. You got to know that Clooney probably stood next to him in the receiving line. You got to know that Clooney went and got him a drink. Who knows? Clooney was up close and personal. He saw it. He didn't say boo about it. Then the debate happened. And then he wrote a piece for the, he waited 2 more weeks and wrote a piece for the New York Times. What that tells me is Clooney was going to let it go, but then he couldn't. So what does this do to the down ballot? What does this do to the people who are running for office on what we refer to as the down ballot? And I don't mean that, that's not a degrading term, by the way. That just says further down the ballot. So they always put the highest ranking offices at the top of the ticket on the ballot. You'll see president or governor or whatever, followed by senators and congressmen and you know, state senators and state representatives. And, you know, and then you'll see other offices and all said and done. The down ballot, a lot of times, is either helped or hurt by what's at the top. Why? Straight ticket voting. If you got people that are already straight ticket voters, you're seeing more and more, by the way, you're seeing more and more of a trend towards straight ticket voting. People who are disenfranchised with Democrats tend to go straight ticket Republican and just see what happens, man. I'm just going, you know what? I don't even know what to do. I'm just going to go. I'm independent. I don't know which. I wait to see how I feel. I vote for the person, and this person stinks. This person's like out of his mind. Well, they're feeling the heat. Senator Sherrod Brown got a piece on Fox here. Sherrod Brown of Ohio is being slammed by his opponent because of his Joe Biden politics. this is one of the vulnerable Dems. This is one of the ones that's like, he's an incumbent and he may not survive this race. We're not sure yet. And so what are they doing? Trying to link him to Biden, showing all the times when he said how much he supports Biden, showing how many times he's voted, 99%, by the way, in favor of Biden's agenda. The Ohio Senate race that Sherrod Brown is in is called a toss-up by the Cook Political Report. But what they're saying right here is that candidates for Senate are much more likely to be elected if the presidential nominee at the top of their ticket also carries their state. And right now, that's a question mark. We're looking at down ballot bloodbath for the Democrats. Now, I will tell you this. We need it. And so what's happening right now is some of the down ballot attention is not just the candidate themselves. Sometimes it's the donors. Let me find that one. Let me go down the stack here. I'm going to scroll down here a little bit. Here's one from Politico. Politico, Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. Politico, Dateline, Saturday. Shaken by mounting doubts over whether President Joe Biden should lead the party's ticket, some Democrat donors have begun pinning their hopes on the down-ballot races. Why? They're trying to stop the bleeding. They're scared to death. Trump wins. What do we do? How do we prevent Trump from doing, like, conservative stuff? We stop him in the House and Senate. How do we stop Trump from confirming new Supreme Court justices if some of them retire or die while he's the president? Well, we have to keep the Senate. So right now, according to Politico, Democrat donors are beginning to rethink where they're sending their money. It says, if resources are reallocated to bolster Democrats' chances of controlling the House and Senate as guardrails for a presidential Donald Trump tendency or presidency, that would be expected. It goes on to say, uncertainty about Biden leaves people anxious in their networks, deliberating where their best investment lies. What they're basically saying here is the money's drying up for Biden right now. If the top of the ticket money dries up and the people who are willing to pay to keep a liberal agenda going, the only way they can do it right now is the downside of the ballot. And so we're looking at down ballot damage in a big way. Do they have a chance right now to upfund some of their swing candidates? I don't know. I just heard yesterday, I was listening to Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who was being interviewed on Laura Ingraham as I was driving back from Nashville. And he said that I hesitate to make predictions, but he actually expects that we'll have a 15 to 20 seat majority in the House. He said, we're never going to get back to 40. The gerrymandering of all the different districts has changed that lay of the land. He said, but he expects that right now the down ballot bloodbath for the Democrats is going to mean that we're going to have about a 15 seat majority in the House. Got to pick up the Senate too, though. Got to pick up the Senate. And then we got to move it forward to the presidential. I'm saying it's got to be all three to get the good stuff done. Yes, I know we've had it before and didn't always get it. Mitch McConnell was in charge of the Senate. I can't help that. I'm hoping right now that with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell out of the picture, we're going to wind up seeing new leadership, House, Senate, President, actually make a conservative agenda work so that we can correct some of what's happened over the last 3 years. All right, take me to a break, Big Rig. We'll do that right now, and then we'll come right back. I got a little more on this, and don't forget, Caroline Dobson, who may be the recipient of some of the down-ballot stuff, is going to be on the line with us top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Oh, man. Okay, I got a few text messages. I'll grab those real quick. Rita from Scottsboro. There she is. Hadn't seen you in a while, Rita. Rita from Scottsboro says, Phil, let me get this straight. You cheated on us yesterday with Jeff from Indiana. No, I do not appreciate that. I had business and we had an opportunity to sync up on the road. Good. And by the way, she has laughing emojis with it. So there you go.
Did he make you eat a gas station fish?
I did not eat gas station fried fish. No, I did not. No. Marshall from Dubai says, you got to be blind, deaf, or dumb to not realize Biden didn't well. We've all seen this for 3+ years. Stevie Wonder could see this train wreck coming from a mile away. What kills me is they're acting like this is new, using one of Biden's lines. Come on, man. Yeah, that sounds like I can hear him saying it. No joke. My dad told me, Joey. Hey, Joey. Wiley from Gunnersville says, Phil, of all possible things that might happen between now and January of 2025, I fear the possibility of the 3 a.m. call more than anything. It would take hours to get Biden into much of a coherent mindset that's possible with him. In the meantime, who makes the decision? Somebody has to. Our country has never been this weak or endangered. I would agree. I think that's the thing that we're looking at, but I'm afraid that's what our enemies are looking at right now, too. Yeah. John from Huntsville is texting and says, hey, I just wanted to say, did Jeff from Indiana get you to eat some pickled eggs and fried catfish? And again, the answer is no. All right, let me jump on in back here. So I'm doing this first dipper, the down ballot damage. As Biden just completely comes unhinged, comes undone. And by the way, he's scheduled to be in front of reporters in the next few hours. Then what does this mean to the down ballot? So Axios, Phil, did you go to Axios? Yes, I did. Axios has got a story. Came out today. A weak Biden campaign could affect Georgia's down ballot races. So Georgia, by the way, is considered a purple state now, which is crazy to me. Crazy. Right next door. Georgia. Anyway. Right now, there are toss-up states. The toss-up states are considered to be the usual blue wall, they call it, of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Although, there have been talk about whether Michigan and Wisconsin may actually be in play, and there are some folks questioning whether Pennsylvania could be at play. But the Cook Political Report, which is a nationwide, well-respected organization, the Cook Political Report just moved Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona out of toss-up to what they call a lean R. Lean R means lean Republican, meaning there's strong R, lean R, toss-up, and then lean Dem and strong Dem. So that's the scale. We just went from being a toss-up in Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona to lean Republican. That's huge. And that doesn't mean necessarily just the presidential race. That's talking about everything. So while he's down in the polls, some analysts say weak enthusiasm for his campaign could hurt the down-ballot races, including in Georgia. One of those candidates is urging the Biden campaign to end its campaign and bring in a new nominee. And it quotes somebody named Jaha. Anyway, some Dem named Jaha Howard, who is a nominee for the Cobb County Commission. I'm like, why are they going down to the Cobb County Commission to get a quote? I'll tell you why. Because the down ballot's freaking out. They're worried about straight ticket voters just jumping over to Republican, hitting the R, and one time being done with it. This guy, Jaha Howard, said the debate was the culminating event that helped everybody see it all at the same time. We can't pretend we did not all see and hear what we witnessed. That is about as clear an indicator that the down ballot's going to be affected. The fact that a national organization like Axios, which is liberal, went to a county commission race to get their opinions means the down ballot is worried as they can be. All right, coming up next, Caroline Dobson, GOP candidate for Congress here in Alabama. She'll be on the line. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Turbo Thursday. So we're going to go to the phones right now. I'm in dipper number one still, talking about the down ballot damage related to the Biden unraveling. And it's epic right now. Between donors, candidates, and politicos of all shapes and sizes, there's a major freakout going on. The recipients of that freakout, the beneficiaries, if you will, of that freakout, are the Republican candidates on the down ballot. And when I say down ballot, again, that's not a degrading term. That's called the other parts of the ballot that are further down from the top tier candidate, being in its case the president. So Caroline Dobson is an Alabama citizen, hails from the Montgomery region. She is running for the brand new, newly redrawn Congressional District 2. She's a non-incumbent, and so is her opponent, Shamari Figures, a longtime Democrat operative. Caroline Dobson comes to us with a degree from Harvard University and a law degree from Baylor. And she is right now on the phone. Let's just stop talking and go right to her. Caroline Dobson, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Listen, you've made some comments about this in recent days. I also see, too, by the way, that a brand new report just came out. You just raised a pretty good bit of money, I think well over $500,000 in the last quarter, which is an indication that I think you're like in the top 10 of non-incumbent fundraisers right now.
Yes, which again, you know, considering that Alabama certainly is not in the top 10 most affluent districts, Alabama District 2 is not in the top 10 most affluent districts in the country, shows you the motivation and the momentum that we have and the willingness of, not only conservatives, but just folks with common sense to take our country back.
Well, yeah, and with the narrow margins we have in the House, even though we're expected to, you know, pick up more seats, I hesitate to predict too much. The crazy thing that people don't realize is that even in red state Alabama, we've just kind of picked up what we call a swing district, and you're in that swing district. But right now, things are looking better in part because the Dems are just unraveling.
That's right. I think for the first time in a long time, really in my lifetime, they're not lockstep like they usually are. And you see this translating, you know, beyond Biden to a recent with respect to the recent vote on Biden's judicial nominee. And you see the junior senator from Georgia voting against that.
Yeah.
So again, you kind of see this translating across the board, some people breaking ranks and I think unraveling is a great term for it because they're flailing right now.
They are flailing. And what's interesting to me, though, is a lot of folks forget that your opponent is Shamari Figures. And I don't know him personally, but I do know his mother who served in the state Senate when I was there, still there, Vivian Figures. But Shamari Figures is an Obama-Biden guy. I mean, he spent time in D.C., and you and I were off the air right before we came on, and I did not even realize you said that he was part of Biden's transition team?
That's right. He's part of Biden's transition team and then a deputy to Merrick Garland and Biden's weaponized DOJ. So the fact that he still declines comment and refuses to state whether he supports Biden, whether he thinks Biden's competent for the job, is really telling. On how he'll take whether or not he'll take a stand on tough votes. But again, we're not talking about an Alabama Democrat who, you know, maybe never even met Biden. This is someone whose ultimate boss was Biden. And it shows you, the fact that he was really complicit in perpetuating the misrepresentation to the American people as to the ability of Biden to lead our country. So that goes beyond even policy. Policy is so important. It's so important that we right the ship and undo all the damage the Biden administration has done. It's also important that we elect someone who's going to be honest with the people of District 2.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I know you're out and about beating the bushes, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing the whole thing that retail politics requires, and that's just part of it. But when you're out there and you're having those kind of like sidebar conversations with, you know, people, how many of them have told you that what they're watching with Biden has impacted their thinking or that it has them concerned? I mean, is that a topic that comes up all the time in your campaigning right now?
Oh, absolutely. And, well, you know, I think a lot of average Americans, and I say average lay Americans, you know, those of us who, like me, have never been in politics, had already suspected this. I mean, when Robert Hur, special counsel to Biden earlier this year, indicated that Biden would probably not be a good candidate for trial because he has poor memory and a jury would not be likely to view him objectively. I mean, that was pretty clear to me and should have been clear to most folks. And I think it was, that he was lacking full mental capacity. But again, this is, you know, to see the mainstream media admit this, I think is also, further diminish the trust that the average American has in the mainstream media. at a time when we really need the average American to be more informed and to be more engaged and to be more educated about what's going on in the world. Again, it's only bred distrust in the mainstream media, which makes me all the more grateful for programs like yours and for the great media sources we have in the state of Alabama that citizens can trust. But, you know, again, it's certainly something that people want to talk about. But for a lot of people, it's something they've known all along. It's like the emperor's new clothes. You've heard that analogy a lot, I'm sure. But that people have realized for a long time, and now, you know, now the George Clooney's of the world are admitting that they have been, actively participating in the fantasy that Biden was not only a viable candidate, but actually qualified and competent to be our president, which he hasn't been probably the entire term.
And Clooney's all the more maddening because he says himself that he saw a week before the debate at a fundraiser that he hosted that Biden was not well and was not the same person. And then he even said what we saw at the fundraiser was the same to Biden we saw at the debate, meaning he knew for
a
week.
But meanwhile, I'm going to raise $30 million for him.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to wait several more weeks before I even say anything to the world because I'm hoping it'll blow by.
It's
maddening.
I mean, just blatant hypocrisy. And again, that's the type of elitism that the American public is just sick and tired of. And that's, again, why this race, the choice, again, it's clear with respect to policy. And it's also clear with respect to whose best interests are at heart. You know, if you're actively, again, participating in an administration in which you know your leader is incompetent, but you're doing so to further your career, are you really going to have the best interests of the folks of District 2 at heart?
Well, you know, back to your race again. Thank you for bringing it back around. Back to your race. AL.com has an article that came out right after the debate. I don't even give it any more. All I have to do is say the debate, and we all know what I'm talking about.
But
right after the debate, AL.com ran a piece on Shamari Figures and said that he had said just prior to that time that he looked forward to being elected to run to serve alongside Biden, who he said created millions of jobs and had great accomplishments. And then said something similar in Alabama Daily News that after the debate, saying it's really about more than one debate performance, but he's been mum pretty much ever since as it just cascades down upon him.
Right. Yeah, no. And again, I think that should be very clear to folks throughout the district, kind of where his real loyalties lie and when faced with a difficult situation, how he's going to respond. But again, more than that, this isn't a situation where he's a Democrat running for office, but, you know, hasn't had any interactions with Biden. Those folks, you're kind of like, well, you know, you probably can't pass. I mean, I think everyone should be able to pass judgment that Biden's unfit for office, right? But someone who's never met Biden, you know, everything's secondhand. But, you know, for someone who for 3 years served at the pleasure of the president, it's pretty damning that he's not willing to pass comment on this.
Yeah, and let me ask you this too. I don't know your schedule because I don't live in CD2. But is there going to be a time between now and the general election when you and Shamari Figures are on the same stage somewhere in a candidate forum or anything like that? Is that coming up?
I know that there are some in the works. I know October 2nd, I believe, the Montgomery Chamber of Commerce is having a forum or a debate, and there are talks of that being televised. I imagine there'll probably be something similar in Mobile and maybe some other opportunities. Things are the schedule is currently being finalized, but I know for sure there'll be a Montgomery Chamber forum October 2nd.
Well, I hope you can hammer him on having been a member of Biden's transition team. And like I know you already have been, but I look forward to just seeing it and hearing it all the way to November, because what we're seeing right now is that anybody who was tied to Biden is struggling on the down ballot. And Caroline Dobson, you've got a candidacy that is not only a good one as it stands, but you're the beneficiary of watching the Democrats unravel.
That's right. And again, it's just so important to recognize again the jobs that figures refers to, the accomplishments that he refers to. Well, I haven't seen any of those, and you and I both know when we go to fill up our car at the pump or go to pay for groceries, that the reality is that Bidenomics has diminished opportunity for all of us, has made it harder for families, struggling families, to get by, and has diminished not only the safety of our communities, the security of our nation, but really the very sovereignty of our nation with the open border policy. So anyone who's been part of the Biden administration would be, you know, a guarantee for more of the same. And that's the last thing that America needs.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, if you can get the cost of bacon back down where it should be, I'll move to your district and vote for you.
Well, I don't know about the cost of bacon. I will say our district has Conecuh sausage.
Yes, you do.
Bacon. So we have the best bacon, and now you have to talk to Mr. John Crumb Sessions about the cut of that.
All right. Well, listen, Caroline Dobson, keep us posted on the race. And if something changes, let me know. But I suspect that right now that the unraveling is going to continue for a while longer.
Well, no, thank you so much for having me. For folks wanting to get involved or contribute, our website is Dobson for Congress. That's D-O-B as in boy, S-O-N-F-O-R, congress.com. Also, please follow us on social media, Dobson for Congress on X, Truth Social, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right. Good enough. Thank you, Caroline Dobson. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks, you too. Bye.
All right. Well, listen, so down ballot. If you're a down ballot candidate right now and you're a Democrat, you're freaking out nationwide, unless you're in a solid blue if you're in something that is the equivalent of like Alabama's congressional district 4, where I live, that has not voted Democrat in decades, you feel pretty good. You're going to make it through. But if you're in a swing state or you're in a swing district like Caroline Dobson and you're a Democrat, the down ballot damage is right now, it's bordering on what they might consider to be epic levels. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll get a few text messages and move this thing through. Butters and Lee coming up at the bottom of the hour. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Let me go to the phones real quick. There's my truck stop buddy, Jeff Rowe from Indiana, from exit 22 in Pulaski at the Pilot. How you doing, brother?
I'm north of the 22, but I haven't got the match.
Hey, I meant to ask you. I didn't even ask you yesterday when we ran into each other. Is that where you get your fried fish from? Is that Pilot Station?
Oh, no. That would be the 322 in Alabama. at the Marathon Station.
Oh, you got that whole route figured out, don't you?
Oh yeah. You don't drive this many miles and know every bump in the road and not know where to eat at, man.
By the way, I've already been accused by Rita from Scottsboro of cheating on the audience by hanging out with you at the Pilot Station.
Brotherly love, I guess you'd say. not the other kind.
Oh,
I mean, we don't swing that way.
Oh,
dude.
Lord. I didn't mean that kind of rumor. Good Lord. Brother? What you think about the topic so far?
We're going to find out tonight who's running the White House.
Yeah. You think?
If the questions are all given to the reporters and everything, and they've submitted, you know, what they're going to do, and he's got the little card there telling him exactly what to say, then we'll know that the Biden people are still in charge. If they blindside him and Joe gets up there and stammers and stutters and they're asking questions he has no clue about, we'll know that Obama's people are still running the White House.
So they left him out to dry, huh?
Well, somebody put him in that debate, and everybody knew his condition at that point. So why would you put him out in a debate with Trump, especially this early, if you knew what was going to happen?
You know what a lot of folks aren't saying too, and I don't want to rehash the whole debate, but that debate was on the heels of him having 7 days of rest and preparation. Like, he went to Camp David for 7 days of rest and preparation. It took that to get that result. And I'm just thinking, my gosh, Yeah, you're right. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this goes today. I mean, even Pelosi is saying we're going to wait till after this to find out how things go, and a lot of folks are looking at it. In fact, I'm watching the screen right now. Fox News, Biden's critical news conference closing in. So yeah, the whole shooting match is resting, I think, on what happens this afternoon.
Yeah, like I say, we'll see I'll put to you this way. I'm willing to put 100-1 that you don't call on Peter Ducey. Anybody want to take that bet?
You see Ducey's question the other day when he was talking to Karine Jean-Pierre. He said, if somebody launches a nuke after 8 p.m., who do you call, the first lady? And then, and she didn't even – I mean, she just kind of rolled her eyes at him and said, he has a team that helps him. I thought, what a bad answer. What she should have said was the president is fully capable to handle his affairs. Anyway.
No. He has a team that's running the country. That's the trouble.
Hey, man. Music's playing. Be safe on the road. We'll talk to you.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, we'll see you. All right, coming up next, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.